Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, precious saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. This is Pastor Torres, and I just returned from going to the A.G. Cole Funeral Home to share my condolences with Sister Pauline Crozier's family. In honor of our beloved sister who went home to be with the Lord on Sunday, May 21st, while we were at service, I have this song entitled, To My Mansion in the Sky. That's where Sister Pauline is right now. She's in heaven. She's in glory. And this is why we do what we do. Because we believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. We believe that God sent forth his son that he might die on the cross to remove our sins. And if they're not removed, we're in trouble. The wrath of God abides on us. But thanks be to God that Sister Pauline had Jesus as her Savior. So in memory of her life, and to thank the Lord where she is, the song by Jimmy Davis, To My Mansion in the Sky. Now, we're praying for revival. We're praying for 1,000 souls at Grace, and we're praying for new souls at the Reformed Church and new souls at the Lutheran Church, and that God will pour out his spirit and pack out every church so that every train going to heaven would be jam-packed with souls.
Now don't you be grieving, because I'm leaving.
That's the kind of music we need to hear when we're down and out. Because no doubt our family is grieving. Our church is grieving. I'm going to miss Sister Pauline. It was a blessing to have her for the short time that we did. Every Sunday morning when she would walk in through that door with Liz, her friend Liz Beakey, I thanked the Lord. I just thanked the Lord for her, for him bringing her to be with us. She was with us on my birthday. In fact, there's a picture we're going to be putting in the church bulletin, the church newsletter this month, this upcoming month. There she is downstairs with us, fellowshipping on my birthday. That's the last time she came to Grace. And she had told me that she would not be in church on Mother's Day. She was going to be spending it with her kids. And then the following Sunday, the 21st, she was on that train, bound for glory. And we shall miss her. And we need to pray for her family. Tomorrow is her interment, tomorrow morning, at the Southwest or the West St. John Cemetery. I'll be there at 11 a.m. and to ensure that her body is properly interred. Well, I'm believing God. I am believing God. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm believing God. I show up at Grace Church every day from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and I pace that congregation. I pace that church from back to front, sideways, middle. I go through every aisle of that church praying, asking God to fill it four times over. I'm believing that God is going to do it. And in his time, he shall. And we shall see it. We shall witness it for ourselves. Our scripture text comes to us today. It's Isaiah 66, verses 7 and 9, as we conclude this series. It says, verse 7, before she travailed, she, the church, brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing, says verse 8? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Today we're going to be looking at verse 9, which reads, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. And we praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for laying on us, putting on us, bestowing upon us the spirit of prayer and supplication. We pray, we seek you, we draw near to your house because you placed that burden on us. It is not a burden inherent in man. It is a burden placed on men by God. And when they have this burden, they turn to God in prayer. So bless us, Lord. For as soon as Zion travailed, as soon as the church got praying, as soon as the church got busy in her business, which is intercession, she brought forth her children. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. The text reads, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Think of a woman whose due date every woman listening to me who has been told by the doctor that she's pregnant, child, has heard her doctor say, well, based on my estimation, based on what I can see, your due date is such and such. This is when I reckon you shall give birth. And so, my brothers and sisters, verse 9 is God telling the church, you have a due date. Shall I cause you to bring to birth and not cause you to bring forth? Shall I cause your belly to grow, your womb to grow, that child to grow in your womb for 9 months and not cause that baby come out, to come forth, to be born? This is the question. And it's a question that answers itself. If God brings to birth, if your waters break on a certain morning, which is either your due date or close to your due date, if your waters break and you start getting contractions, will you not by the end of the day bring that child forth from your womb? Of course you will. The next question, shall I cause to bring forth? Will I cause the woman's matrix, her cervix, to go from 2 centimeters to 10 centimeters? Shall I cause to bring forth and then all of a sudden that cervix is 10 centimeters? Will I, the Lord, take it back to zero? No. Absolutely not. God will cause that womb and bring forth that child. He will not shut the womb. He won't. So what is God saying to Grace Church through these verses? Well, we've been praying. Grace Church is like a pregnant mother. She's been praying. She's pregnant with revival. She's pregnant. She's travailing. She's meeting on a weekly basis. The child in her, the outpouring of God's Spirit, the visitation of God, the promises of God to bless her with a new generation is growing. Shall the Lord now shut the womb? Is God just teasing us with revival? Well, you pray and I'll send you a revival and then he doesn't bring it. Is that the case? Would God play that kind of a trick on Abraham and Sarah? When God said to them, this time next year, I will visit Sarah, she shall conceive, and she will bear you a son. Did God just say that, raise all their hopes, to just walk away and not make it happen? No, we saw. We saw that whatever God promised, he fulfilled. So, to conclude this series, I have here a commentary by the Prince of Expositors, the saintly, the godly, the educated Matthew Henry, on Isaiah 66, verses 7, 8, and 9. He entitled that section of his commentary, The Enlargement of the Church. And let us read what he says. Does God cause mankind and all the species of living creatures to propagate and replenish the earth? And will he restrain Zion? Think about it, saints. In the natural, in the natural world, children are being born. Living creatures are being born. Right? If you're a farmer, if you have sheep, sheep is lambing season. If you're raising goats, the spring is, listen, you can expect many kids in the spring if you're raising goats. You can expect many calves in the spring if you have cows and bulls. God is bringing forth. Look around you, saints. This is springtime. There's life everywhere. Little birds are chirping in their nest. I mean, the other day I was driving to church for prayer, and I saw a mother goose and a father goose and three little gooselings. And Daniel says, "Daddy, Daddy, be careful. Don't kill them. Don't hit them." Three little ducklings, gooselings, are following mom and dad. They had no feathers. They were furry. They were furry yellow. The feathers had not. They were just recently hatched, little things. Shall God cause the living species of all creatures to propagate? And during this time of year, He's replenishing the earth with all kinds of creatures. There's creatures being born all over the earth. Springtime is birthing time. So, will God cause that to happen in the natural world? And then in the spiritual world, He's going to restrain Zion? The obvious answer is no. It goes on to say, will he not make her fruitful and a blessed offspring to replenish the church? My brothers and sisters, don't you think Grace Church needs replenishing? Are you happy with all of the empty rows that we have at our church? You've heard of the past. You heard how Grace Church used to be packed to the back. It was fully packed with people. Don't you think it's time for the Lord to make Grace Church, the Reformed Church, the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, all the churches in St. Johnsville and Little Falls? Don't you think it's time for the Lord to cause the churches to replenish with souls? I think Matthew Henry is making a great argument. Or am I he that begot or begat? And should I restrain from bringing forth? Did God beget the deliverance in his purpose and promise? And will he not bring it forth in the accomplishment and performances of it? Now look at all this stuff that's in bold. Matthew Henry says that what Isaiah is saying in verses 7, 8, and 9, this is but a figure. This points to the church. This is but a figure of the setting up of the Christian church in the world and the replenishing of that family with children, which was to be named from Jesus Christ. When the Spirit was poured out and the gospel went forth from Zion, who's Zion? The church. Multitudes were converted in a little time and with little pains compared to the vast product, compared to the thousands that were saved, is what he means by vast product. The apostles, even before they travailed, and he's referring to the upper room, because they were only there for a short time. They were only there for 10 days. You know, we've been praying. We've had a whole year of prayer, a whole year of Tuesday night prayer. Last year, from April to October, I was praying at the church every day, Monday through Friday. So it says, the apostles, even before they travailed, they didn't even get started. They were only 10 days into praying in the upper room. The apostles, even before they travailed, brought forth. And the children born to Christ were so numerous and so suddenly and easily produced that they were rather like the dew from the morning's womb than like a son from the mother's womb. And you need to read Psalm 110, verse 3. The success of the gospel was astonishing. That light, like the morning, strangely diffused itself till it called even of the ends of the earth. Cities and nations were born at once to Christ. The same day that the Spirit was poured out, there were 3,000 souls added to the church. And when this glorious work was once begun, it carried on wonderfully beyond what could be imagined. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. He that brought to the birth in conviction of sin caused to bring forth in a thorough conversion to God. The Holy Spirit must come to convict men of sin. And when they're convicted of sin, they will say to the apostles, because the Bible says in Acts 2 that when they were pricked to the heart, that's conviction. They said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall be regenerated. So, my brothers and sisters, look at that phrase. The apostles, even before they travailed, brought forth. And the children born to Christ were so numerous and so suddenly and easily produced. That's Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7, 8, and 9. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? And the answer is very few. Because very few in the church have witnessed a true revival. But we shall. And we will. And we will have one. Because we shall continue to pray until God brings forth. Remember, this is the question in verse 9, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and then shut the womb? What woman goes to the hospital with her child's head crowning? And the doctor says, go home. It won't happen today. That doctor will be sued for malpractice. When that head is crowning, the mother will give birth shortly. Grace Church is crowning. We're believing God. And we're not leaving. We won't stop. We won't stop until God does what he promises to do in his word. Well, we'll leave it there. I hope this series was a blessing to you. And again, in honor of our beloved sister, our dear Pauline Crozier, who's already gone home to be with the Lord, I have another song by Jimmy Davis. It's a great song. It's about going to heaven. We'll be singing Hallelujah is its title. God bless you, saints. I hope this song does minister to your heart.
When Gabriel blows his trumpet, angels are coming down. We'll be singing Hallelujah. sighs relieve in the ground. Goodbye, oh world, goodbye. I'll meet you in the air. And we'll all live together in that home over there. We'll be singing hallelujah. What a day that will be. When I meet all my loved ones, we'll have a jubilee. We'll sing and shout forever. Our troubles will be all. While living in that mansion on heaven's golden shore. Singing hallelujah upon the streets of gold. You'll be singing hallelujah, what a day that will be.